I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, swine flu has the potential to do more than make people ill. It could sicken an already weak global economy. We're going to ask our money coach, Alvin Hall, about that in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to continue to follow this outbreak. The suspected death toll in Mexico is now over 145 people. Several other countries have confirmed cases of the swine flu, and in the U.S., more than 40 cases have been confirmed, but none has been fatal. The World Health Organization has not called the flu a pandemic. It's raised its alert level on the outbreak, but it has declared that containing the virus to existing outbreak areas is probably not possible. Now, one of the most interesting and provocative aspects of the story is that this is a cross-border phenomenon. So we decided to call on two men who are used to thinking in cross-border terms or global terms about these issues. So we've called on Dr. Julio Frank. He's currently the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health and a former minister of health in Mexico. He's on the line with us from just outside Mexico City. Also with us is Hal Baldwin. He's the mayor of Schertz. It's a city near San Antonio, Texas, where concerns about swine flu have led officials to shut down six schools. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to Schertz.
Well, thank you. Dean Frank, I'm going to start with you. President Obama said yesterday that the flu is cause for concern, not panic. Do you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely. This is an event that the world has been expecting for several years now. It's happened now, but preparation started since 2003 with the SARS outbreak and the subsequent outbreaks of avian influenza in Asia. So the world is prepared. There's plans. There's strategic stockpiles of drugs, antiviral drugs, and other protective measures. So it is certainly a very serious event, but one that should not create panic.
And Dean, I want to point out that we have extensive information and basic information on our website, but everybody does not necessarily have access to a computer. So just for the sake of sort of our discussion here, can you just give us some basic information about who is most affected by this virus and why? And I think one of the other things that people are interested in is why have there been fatalities in Mexico but not the U.S.?
Yeah, those are excellent questions. The age pattern is very different from the regular seasonal influenza. As we know, every year during the winter months, there are episodes of influenza in most countries. And that's why we have vaccines for that. That's human influenza. The difference here is that a influenza virus that grows in swines, the genetic material got mixed with human influenza, and that's produced a whole new virus. This is why this is so serious. It's a whole new virus. Human populations have not been exposed to it, do not have immunity. And the initial pattern is quite different. Whereas regular influenza affects the either very young or very old people, the first cases are affecting mostly young people. Now, it's also young people that are more mobile, and therefore more exposed to getting infected with the new virus.
You think it's because young adults are more likely to go out and about, that sort of thing?
Right, and travel and so forth. But so far, the largest number of cases is concentrated in the age range of 25 to 45 in previously healthy adults.
And I want to bring Mayor Baldwin in, but just briefly, can you explain why it is that there have been fatalities in Mexico but none in the U.S.? It's a similar population affected.
That's correct. I think, again, it's a new virus. We're just beginning to understand its characteristics. It's already been fully sequenced in its genome, but we still need to understand some of its characteristics. However, one possible explanation is that these initial deaths refer to the very early cases when nobody had yet discovered that this was actually a new virus, and some of the first patients may have confused this with a serious case of a cold, started taking symptomatic medicines for the symptoms, and delayed seeking treatment. Mm-hmm. The antiviral drugs that are used in these cases are highly effective, but they only work in a narrow window of 48 to 72 hours after symptoms. And I believe that probably very valuable time was lost because neither physicians nor patients were aware that we were in the presence of a new disease. I think as this has now been discovered fully, and then people will go in a much more timely fashion to physicians, and we should see a tapering off of the number of deaths, which actually is beginning to happen. The number of deaths is actually going down.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mayor, in the city of Schertz, as I understand it, three people have been confirmed sick with swine flu. Seven more are considered potentially infected. Do you have any idea how they may have contracted this? Is there any idea?
At this time, we have absolutely no idea how they may have contracted. They are trying to determine the way they have contracted it. We have not confirmed anyone has been in Mexico or in any area that has had an outbreak of this flu. So we're just not sure right now.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the swine flu and its effects in Mexico and the U.S., and we're speaking with Dr. Julio Frank. He's dean of the Harvard School of Public Health. He's in Mexico now, and Mayor Hal Baldwin from the city of Schertz, Texas. Mr. Mayor, now, Schertz is not a border town with Mexico, but you do have extensive ties through, you know, travel and trade. Are you seeing any economic impact from the concerns about the flu?
At this point in time, we have not seen any economic impact. In just traveling around the city, the stores seem to be doing business as usual. We have had our school shut down, of course, which has impacted our some of the business around the town, because a lot of the fast food places have seen an actual increase a little bit in attendance by students during the daytime. So,
14 schools have been shut down, and as I understand it, the school district spans beyond the city of Schertz. How long will the schools be shut down?
At this point, we understand it'll be at least 1 week.
Mm-hmm. What's the mood there?
Well, the mood right now is apprehensive. You know, there's a lot of concern about what we should do or should not do. And I think probably most people are just kind of holding their breath and trying to get as much information as they can and not put themselves in a position where they might be exposed to this flu.
Dean, what about you? What's the mood where you are?
I would also characterize it as apprehensive, as the mayor just did. The scene in Mexico City is quite amazing because it's it's a crowded city, and yet most people are clearly staying home. Schools have been, all schools in the entire country now have now been closed. In the case of Mexico City, since Friday, and they're going to remain closed until next week. And I think people are concerned, but there's been, I think, good communication from the part of the government. In our case here, the president of the country has personally been heading the emergency response, and I think that sent a very clear message to the population that this is a situation of the utmost seriousness. So people are complying with all the instructions not to gather in crowded places, to basically keep at home. So the mood is, there's apprehension, but at the same time, I haven't seen any scenes of panic or anything like that. People are paying lots of attention to what the health authorities are recommending.
And speaking of the information flow, Mr. Mayor, do you feel that as a city leader, do you feel that you're getting adequate information about this?
Yes, I do. We've had conference calls with county and state officials on a daily basis, sometimes twice a day for the last 4 or 5 days, and we are being inundated with information concerning precautions that we need to take and recommendations on things we need to do. So, yeah, I think we're getting lots of information, great information, as a matter of fact.
And Dean Frank, what is the biggest challenge that the government faces in addressing this outbreak? Both governments, actually. Since both governments, I'd ask you. The Mexican government first, because that's one in which you served, and then the U.S. government, because you're now currently certainly in a position of leadership in the public health community.
Yes, I think the greatest challenge right now is to contain the spread of the virus, and that's why very drastic measures have been taken. Measures like closing schools, which, as you can imagine, disrupt the lives of families and children and young people. But this is what it's called for. As I said before, we have been expecting this for at least 6 years. There's national preparedness and response plans in almost every country. Certainly the United States has a very detailed plan. Mexico has a very detailed plan. We built stockpiles of strategic drugs. The scientific response has been very prompt. The virus has been now completely sequenced. We know exactly the genetic makeup. That opens the door for beginning to produce a vaccine, but that will be 4 to 6 months into the future. So in the short run, the challenge is to limit the mobility of people in order to avoid contagion as much as possible. And then for those that do get sick, have prompt medical care, because this disease is curable. It can be treated. There's an effective drug. There's actually two very effective antiviral drugs. The virus is sensitive to both of them. People should not self-medicate because that will make the drugs ineffective.
They should not self-medicate.
Mm-hmm. Not self-medicate. And at any symptom, which is basically very high fever and, you know, cough and cold symptoms, but with very high fever, immediately go to the doctor. And if necessary, that will be the drugs will be prescribed, and the disease can be treated successfully. So right now, I would say those are the challenges: containing the spread and treating everyone who needs the treatment in a timely fashion.
And finally, Dean, do you mind if I ask you this? You are one of the sort of new wave citizens of the world. You go back and forth all the time. Are you personally concerned about your own health and that of your family?
Yes, of course I am concerned. But you know, I'm a public health professional. I've taken extreme precautions. But everyone is potentially affected. This could have started in any part of the world. It's actually a mystery why it started in the Americas, in the U.S. and in Mexico, rather than in Asia, where everyone was expecting it would start. But in today's globalized world, everyone is at risk. And that's why the other part of this response is the global response.
Okay.
Fortunately, at the World Health Organization, there's very good preparation. The Director General herself has been heading the response. They've been issuing clear recommendations and guidelines. And it will be very important that countries follow the lead of the World Health Organization.
All right, we have to leave it there. Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Julio Frank is currently the Dean of the Harvard School of Public Health. He's a former Minister of Health in Mexico. He joined us by phone from Mexico City. Mayor Hal Baldwin also joined us. He leads the city of Schertz, Texas, where 3 cases of swine flu have been confirmed and several more are suspected. He was also kind enough to join us by phone. I thank you both so much. This is Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News.